then sings my song.
Thinking about the reading that Gemma very kindly read to us from 1 Peter chapter 4, which, as she said, can be found on page 232 of the New Testament part of the Bibles that are in the pews. Hopefully you've got one of those nearby you can put your hands on. Let me pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're not a silent God, God of pure mystery. Thank you that you've made yourself known through your word in the Bible and through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that we get to know him better and what it means to follow him this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Always love the front cover of magazines. So if you read any particular magazine, they're always quite exciting, aren't they? Designed to make you want to buy the magazine and be inspired to kind of try and live out something that's in the magazine. So perhaps you subscribe to Country Living, the kind of thing that people in Brandscore subscribe to. Country Living, or another title could be Homes That Are Nicer Than Yours. And there's that beautiful home on the front cover that you would long your home to be like. So you buy the magazine and you try and follow the steps inside the magazine to make your house more beautiful. Or maybe you subscribe to Men's Health, and there's that lovely looking man on the front cover with his abs and his six pack. A magazine that could also be titled Bodies Which Are Nicer Than Yours. Of course, it's aspirational, isn't it? You want that body, so you buy the magazine, you follow some of the tips inside, and you hope that it's going to happen. Well, I subscribed to a magazine, a triathlon magazine, and the front cover is always very exciting. It's, you know, somebody swimming through the waves with the sun rising over the mountains in the distance, or it's somebody on their racing bike zooming down the roads with a sort of very calm look on their face. It's not a challenge to them at all, this heroic athletic deed that they're performing. Of course, you buy a magazine like that because you want to be that person on the front cover, and when you're out doing some exercise, you imagine that's you. And so inside the magazine, of course, are loads of helpful practical things you can do to tell you how to be that person on the front cover. In the case of the triathlon magazine, it has training programs telling you what you should do every day. You know, Monday, you should go for an hour-long swim. That sounds kind of reasonable, doesn't it? Tuesday, you should go for a little short but quite fast run. That doesn't sound too hard. Wednesday, you should have a day off. That sounds really good. Thursday, though, you should go for a 100-mile bike ride. That sounds much, much harder. And of course, as you delve into those practical things that you can do to try and be like the person on the front cover, things get harder and harder. That hour-long swim on Monday that you're supposed to do, they tell you exactly how you should do the swim. To start with, you should do 40 lengths as a warm-up. That's a kilometre. And you should do it in 15 minutes. That's your warm-up. And then comes the really serious stuff of really hard swimming. Of course, you realise actually that being the person on the front cover is quite hard. And it's not just about following those few practical steps. It's actually about having a whole attitude, a whole approach, a disciplined approach. And actually, discipline is the real thing that's needed. The magazine might tell you loads of great things you can do, but without discipline, those things are just a waste of time. Discipline is the one thing you really need. Well, if 1 Peter was a magazine, on the front cover of that magazine would be a picture of the church, the local church in all its glory. The local church, the way that God sees the local church. Not the way we often see the local church, but the way God sees it. The most exciting thing that is happening in the world today is the local church from God's perspective. The local church, which is a royal priesthood, a holy nation, there to present God to the world, to advertise God's grace and mercy. A group of people called together to proclaim the greatness of the one who called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's God's vision for the church. The most exciting thing happening in the world today, and the most exciting thing that has ever happened in the world today. The prophets longed to see the church, but they didn't know it. The prophets of Israel's past. The angels looked down from heaven in wonder, says Peter, at the glory of the local church. That's the picture on the front cover. The royal priesthood, the holy nation. That's who you and I should want to be. As we read through 1 Peter, we've seen practical things that we can do to be that royal priesthood by living lives of obedience to the state in all things that are right and honest, and to suffer when that needs to happen, when the state is unjust or anti-Christian, to live ordered lives in public, at work, and at home, so that no one can point the finger and say, hey, do you know what, I'm not going to be a Christian because look at the way she lives her life, look at the way she talks to her colleagues. That's how we should live our lives, a very practical thing. We should be ready to explain what it is we believe when anyone asks the question of us, a very practical thing that we can do. This is what it means practically to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And yet those things are hard, aren't they? And Peter tells us here that the most important attitude we need to have, if we're to be a royal priesthood, if we're to defend the faith when we're asked to do so, if we're to live ordered lives that don't create scandal, the attitude we really need is discipline. He says we need to be disciplined about not being the same, about being spectacular but strange. That's what the church is like. We need to be disciplined about not being the same as everyone else. And we need to be disciplined about belonging to the local church. I wonder how you feel about that word, discipline. It's not the nicest word in the world. Is it conjure up images of being at school and having to obey the rules, images you don't like maybe, or serving in the armed forces? Maybe it makes you think of that diet that you've been trying to do for years and years, but you know you don't have the discipline to resist that piece of chocolate cake. Maybe that's what you think when you think discipline. It can be hard, and yet the reality is that most of us are really disciplined about lots of things every day. If we work, we're disciplined about going to work, so we set our alarm clock, and when it goes off, we don't sort of switch it off and say, well, actually, you know what, I'm going to spend the day in bed today, because we're disciplined. We don't say, oh, silly old me, I didn't make it into work one day this week because I just didn't have the discipline. Well, don't worry about that, life doesn't work like that, does it? We're disciplined about things we think are important. Disciplined about going to work. Disciplined about having regular meals. Disciplined about spending time with our family. We're disciplined about things that are important. And so Peter says, be disciplined about being a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Be disciplined about not being the same as everyone else. And be disciplined about belonging to the local church. Be deliberate and thought through in the way you approach those things. Firstly then, be disciplined about not being the same. Peter says the church is spectacular but strange. From God's point of view, it is amazing. There's never been anything like it. And yet from the world's perspective, the church will seem strange. We're exiles, we're strangers, we're travellers in the world. It means to resist the temptation to be a cool Christian, someone who tries to balance being faithful to God's and fitting in with everyone else. That's the cool Christian. But actually, those two things, they're not equal. Obedience to God is way more important than fitting in with everyone else. Peter says, don't bother about being normal. You don't have to join in with everything everyone else does. Peter says in verse 1 there, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same intention. In other words, be ready to suffer if you need to. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has finished with sin. I remember meeting an Indian vicar, a vicar who works in India, and he said suffering can be a game changer, because the first time you're beaten up as a disciple of Christ, it changes your perspective on everything. Once you've been beaten up for following Jesus, once you've suffered in the flesh because of Jesus, some of the little things you might worry about, you know, do people think I'm cool? Do people respect me? They don't really matter nearly as much. You see them in a greater perspective. The one who's suffered in the flesh has finished with sin. They see things in the right perspective, and they're not so bothered about the tedium of fitting in with everyone else. So to live the rest of your life, says Peter, the rest of your earthly life, no longer by human desires, but by the will of God. You've already spent enough time in doing what the Gentiles like to do, living in licentiousness, passions, drunkenness, revels, carousing, and lawless idolatry. They're surprised that you no longer join them in the same excesses of dissipation, and so they blaspheme. Suffering is the game changer. Now, you know, all of those things in that list, they're all things that are to do with not having discipline. There's nothing wrong with having a drink and going to a party and having a nice time doing that. But without self-control, without discipline, those things can lead to drunkenness, the abuse of our bodies through alcohol. We end up saying things that we really regret having said. I'm not exactly sure what carousing is. Maybe you can tell me afterwards. That's kind of once you're drunk, roaming the streets, knocking on people's doors, getting into fights, that sort of thing. It's a lack of self-control. Be disciplined. Be disciplined about not being the same. And you might think, well, it's absurd that we need to be told to do that. Well, for my generation, that's pretty normal. A pretty normal weekend, doing some of those things. Be disciplined about not being the same. You don't have to fit in with everyone else. In fact, you shouldn't in some of those things. Don't be the kind of person who seems to have no principles, no willingness to stand up for what they believe in, no discipline to see things through to the end. I heard I think it was from the Bishop of Winchester, described another Christian leader, somebody who can never make up their mind and never took up a stand for anything, as someone who has nailed his colours to the fence. I thought that was really funny. There's a bit of mixed metaphor there. Don't be someone who's nailed their colours to the fence. Be disciplined about not being the same, says Peter. It won't make you popular, but it will make you stand out. Shine as a light in the world, as Jesus says, and be prepared to suffer for it. Be disciplined about not being the same, and be disciplined about belonging to the local church, says Peter. The end of all things is near, therefore be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Now, the local church is really hard, isn't it? We're a community of all sorts of people from all sorts of different backgrounds, all sorts of different ages. And it's very easy in the life of a local church to upset people within the church family and to make life difficult for each other. How do we then navigate our way through the local church? Well, Peter says, above all things, maintain constant love for each other, because love covers a multitude of sins. We're never going to get everything right. We are going to say things that upset people or say things in a certain way that rub people up the wrong way. But if we can be seen to be acting in love, love covers a multitude of sins. Peter goes on, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Be disciplined about belonging to the local church. We've each got our role to play in this church. People often think the church is a bit like a sports team. Sports teams work really well when you're committed to them. And they're really rubbish when people don't turn up to practice. And they're really rubbish when people do turn up, but they decide not to get stuck in. They kind of avoid holding the ball. I don't know if you were like me, but when I was at school, I really hated playing football. And everyone who hated playing football would end up in defence. And we'd stand there talking about computer games and things like that. Whilst the people who liked playing football got on and did that in slightly more glamorous positions. It's no good doing that in the local church. It doesn't make for a good game in sports. And it doesn't make for a strong church. Of course, sometimes when that happens, when only a few people have really got contact with the ball in a game, it's because actually they're not sharing it. There's the boy who thinks that he's on match of the day and is ever so concerned about how he looks as he dribbles the ball and will never pass to anyone, because as far as he's concerned, it's all about him. Or the local church can have people like that as well, who've got the ball and don't want to share it. They're not team players. The challenge for each of us is to get stuck in. Use whatever gift each of you has for the benefit of the church. Be disciplined about belonging to the local church. I wonder where this challenges us, particularly as this congregation, the 1030 congregation at St Mary's. I think in our benefits, it challenges each congregation in different ways. And there's a lot more that we could do for us all to be playing our part in the life of this church. I don't know many of the details. I kind of try and keep out of out of this, but our church treasurer tells me that something like 22 people are planned givers in this church, which is wonderful. Thank you very much if that's you. But of course, there are about 100 adults who are regular attenders at this church, probably about 150 who would say they belong to this church. So 22 is not a great number of people who are generous and see their giving as part of their work towards the church. I'd love you to think about if that's not you, whether it could be you. We've got the parish giving scheme. If you're not shouldering the burden, that means somebody else is. If you're refusing to use the ball, that means somebody else has got to do all the work, and that's not fair, and it's also not right. We should be disciplined about belonging to the local church, using our gifts. Today is what I have decided to call Sign Up Sunday. It's actually, if you go to a prayer book service today, it's Stir Up Sunday. Does anyone remember that? Stir Up Sunday. Stir Up Sunday is a day where there's a prayer in the church service that begins with the word stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, and you're supposed to go home from church and mix all the ingredients of your Christmas cake together. Unfortunately, we don't have that prayer in this service. But instead of Stir Up Sunday, it's Sign Up Sunday today with our Christmas events coming up. I'd love us to work together as a team and all play our part in those Christmas events being really good. So at the back of church after the service, and I'll take them through into the resource centre and we have a cup of tea. I'd love you to sign up to read or be in the choir or help serve or do something like that with one of our Christmas events. So that it won't just be a handful of people doing everything, but we'll share the burden. We'll all take our part in the team. Of course, that involves discipline. Being disciplined is about doing the right thing, even when it hurts and it's not convenient. Showing up to football practice when we really want to have a lie-in. Being disciplined is about doing the right thing when it hurts. Some people see the church as being a bit like a theatre. A performance takes place, and it's a performance offered by, in this case, you know, me and and David and Gemma, who read the reading, and the person who's doing the prayers later on in the service. It's a performance, and for everybody else sitting down, it's your job to either enjoy it or not enjoy the performance. And if you don't enjoy it, you'll go somewhere else where the performance is better. We are like a theatre as a church, but we're more like the dressing room of a theatre. The performance isn't here. The performance is out there, where each of us as Christians live our day-to-day lives for the glory of God as a royal priesthood. This is like the dressing room where we encourage each other and we say, break a leg. And we help each other and support and encourage each other. Lots of people think that the church is a bit like a shop, and it's selling a product, and the music and the talk and all of that is the product. And if we think it's any good, we'll come back. And if we don't think it's any good, we'll find somewhere else where the product is a bit better and suits our needs better. But you know, the church service is not the product of a church. And you're not the consumers. You are the product of the church. You, as the people of God, are what we're sending out into the world to be a blessing to our communities. You are the product, not the consumer. And so it's ever so important that you and I are disciplined about belonging to the local church, that we play our part in the team. Peter says, be disciplined. Be disciplined about not being the same. Be disciplined about belonging to the local church. And when we do that, we'll be the royal priesthood, the people belonging to God, the people declaring the praises of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvellous light, and will be a source of blessing to this village and to the wider community and for the glory of God. Amen.